For over a year, I have been trying to raise awareness about the real concerns behind the National Shipbuilding Procurement Strategy. So, for instance, I prepared a fact sheet. I passed out thousands across the country. I organized meetings, film screenings, events. I went and I spoke to other organizations to get their support in terms of opposing the federal government spending $25 billion on building warships. And I just didn't seem to be getting the kind of support that I wanted, and the visibility on this important issue. And I also didn't seem to be getting enough critical media attention. And so I felt like I really needed to do something else. So for the last few months, I've been thinking, you know, what more could I do? And I felt like I really needed to do something that was very public and very visible and very direct, going to the source of the problem. And so I decided to start this weekly protest, and it's called Wednesdays Against Warship, and I have a blog, and I have a new website where I'm compiling information about the National Shipbuilding Procurement Strategy and the warship contract at the Irving Shipyard.
What do you find the value is of doing these protests, like, every week?
Well, because the National Shipbuilding Procurement Strategy is a 20 to 30 year program. So it's a long-term financial commitment by the federal government. And I felt like I needed to do something that was a long-term commitment, because I believe that as this project goes forward, we're going to see more and more problems arise. And so I want to compile that. I want to publicize those problems. And I also wanted to be really visible. In Nova Scotia, there is widespread support for the shipbuilding contract at the Irving Shipyard. And Nova Scotians don't realize that what's being built at the shipyard are warships. And so I really want to get Nova Scotians to see me on the street with my signs, to critically think about their support of this contract, and for them to also face the reality that it's their tax dollars on the line, and it's their tax dollars that are being used for warships instead of being invested in programs like environmental and social programs that could really help the well-being of Canadians.
I want to get to the specifics about the warship strategy in a second, but just before that, I haven't been to one of the warships or Wednesdays Against Warships yet, but I've just, like, read your blog and looked at the photos. And one thing that I was just wondering is, do you feel alone out there? You're there and you're in front of Irving and where all the shipbuilders are with your sign, and, like, how does that feel to you?
Well, yes, the first 2 weeks that I was out there, and I was all by myself, it is a little bit lonely. And quite honestly, it has been hard for me to generate the kind of support that I wanted, you know, to oppose this. And, you know, many Nova Scotians feel, even in the social justice community, feel like this is a hard, you know, a hard issue to tackle, because there's widespread support and there's the possibility that Nova Scotia could get a lot of money. And so it's very hard to challenge that. And it's also very hard for Nova Scotians, you know, they have friends and family in the military or friends and family in the shipyard. But so, you know, in more subtle and ways, and in one-on-one meetings and things like that, I've tried to say to people, well, there's a choice here, there's an option. Instead of having the workers, you know, building warships, they could be, you know, doing green jobs, retrofitting buildings, things like that. But people aren't ready yet to face that and to have a dialogue on that. And so I feel like, personally, this is such an important issue to me personally that I really needed to do something. And so if I can't get the broader support that I need right now, that I'm just going to show, you know, personal leadership on this. I'm just going to go, and hopefully I'll get more people to wake up to this issue, to support me, and to stop the building of the warships.
You point out on your website that the Department of National Defense has no risk assessment or threat assessment that justifies the need for warships. We have no naval enemies. why are we building warships in Nova Scotia?
Well, this is actually a question that I would like the federal government to answer. And I've asked the question, for instance, to the Admiral of the Atlantic Fleet, David Garden. He did not answer my question. I asked him, you know, why we need warships, you know, who are we going to be using the warships against? And they won't answer that question. You know, we've been told that, oh, well, we need the warships to exert our sovereignty in the Arctic. But there are many other ways that are much more fiscally responsible and, you know, more peaceful and more reasonable than using warships to exert our sovereignty.
And I mean, you mentioned on your website that surveys show that the priorities for Canadians, you know, is come down to, you know, health, education, childcare, environment. So why are we spending $25 billion on warships?
Well, so for the last 10 years, if you look at the Canada Lobbyist database, you can see that Irving Shipbuilding has been lobbying the federal government for years for a new shipbuilding strategy. And then also, if you look at the parliamentary Hansard record to see what the various political parties have been saying in Ottawa about shipbuilding, you can see, for instance, the NDP, the shipbuilding critic, for instance, Peter Stauffer, he's been the NDP MP since 1997, and he's been advocating for a shipbuilding strategy for years. And so there's been a lot, and of course you've got the Aerospace and Defense Association, the federal one and the provincial one, you know, advocating for an increase in military spending. And you get pressure from the United States and from NATO to increase military spending. So then you saw that come to fruition in 2008, when the Conservative government released their Canada First Defence Strategy. And the Canada First Defence Strategy came out in the summer of 2008, when most Canadians were not paying attention to the news. There was no parliamentary debate, and there was no public consultations on the Canada First Defence Strategy. And this is a blueprint for a massive increase to the Department of National Defense. So the federal government committed $490 billion on the military over the next 20 years. And every single area, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force were going to get new equipment. And there was going to be also a massive increase to the number of soldiers and reservists in the military. And so in that Canada First Defence Strategy of 2008, that's when you saw the beginning of the National Shipbuilding Procurement Strategy, the federal government saying, we are going to start spending a lot of money on the Navy. And then in 2010, that's when the federal government gave more detail and said, okay, this is what we're going to do for the Navy, and it's called the National Shipbuilding Procurement Strategy, and we're going to spend $35 billion on three packages. The big combat package, which is worth $25 billion, the non-combat Navy package, which is worth $8 billion, and then a retrofit package worth $2 billion, so a combined total of $35 billion. And then last fall, in October of 2011, the federal government made the decision through the National Shipbuilding Procurement Secretariat that the Irving Shipyard would win the $25 billion package. C-SPAN in Vancouver would win the $8 billion non-combat Navy package. And then various shipyards across the country will be able to compete for the $2 billion contract.
What do you think the money should be spent on?
So this is a lot of money, $25 billion. Just that one contract that for the combat vessel package is the largest, as part of the National Shipbuilding Procurement Strategy, $35 billion. This is the largest government procurement, the largest defense procurement in Canadian history. The other troubling aspect about this before I answer the question about how else this money could be used, is that there's all party support for this. So the Conservative Party, of course, the Liberal Party, the NDP, and the Green Party have all come out in support of the National Shipbuilding Procurement Strategy. And so there's very little dissent in Parliament. Not one MP in the House of Commons stood up and said this money should be used differently. But I very much believe that $25 billion for warships should be spent differently. You know, we are facing a climate catastrophe. We are facing a poverty crisis in this country. And those are the most pressing needs facing Canadians. And I believe that we could more responsibly spend Canadian taxpayers' money and meeting those real security challenges by investing in, and we could do it all with this $25 billion. We could have a green job strategy, a national green job strategy, where we could be hiring Canadians in every single province and territory, retrofitting and weatherizing buildings, restoring contaminated lakes, cleaning up contaminated sites, educating for environment and sustainability, installing renewable energy technologies, building sustainable transportation. So we could be investing in that. We could also be investing in a national affordable housing strategy, something, for instance, that the NDP has supported for many, many years. I mean, we could be hiring all of those people at the shipyard that are in construction and electrical into a national affordable housing strategy. I mean, we've got chronic homelessness in this country. We have housing insecurity. We've got First Nations peoples that are living on reserves with, you know, a housing stock that's you know, has been characterized by the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Indigenous Peoples as worse than, you know, the third world house. And so we could have a national affordable housing strategy. We could also have a national early learning and childcare system. We are one of only two developed countries in the OECD that does not have such a strategy. So the United States and Canada are the only two developed countries without a federal program for early learning and childcare. And, you know, parents have been calling for this for over 40 years. So that's, you know, let's invest in our next generation, in our future generations, in our children, than investing in warships that we absolutely don't need. And of course, we could be investing in First Nations. We could have a new Kelowna Accord. We could also have a municipal infrastructure strategy. Municipalities across Canada have been crying for more federal dollars to help with deteriorating infrastructure. So roadways, for instance, wastewater, transportation, recreation, etc. So the municipalities are desperate for federal dollars, and we could be employing Canadians, you know, building a green and just society and economy that meets everybody's well-beings and not warships.
What does it say to you that not one of the political parties or even NMP objected to this strategy?
Well, it is very disconcerting to me, because there is a lack of real commitment by any of the federal parties for peace, and there's a lack of courage on the part of all the parties to really stand up to the military and to this incredible increase in military spending that we've seen in the last 6 years. And so not one of the parties are calling for a reallocation of military spending into environmental and social programs. And we simply are not going to be able to meet the poverty crisis and the climate crisis by wasting time and resources like we are right now on the military. So currently today, if you look at the public accounts of Canada, you will see that the Department of National Defense gets $22 billion a year. And the Department of Environment, the lead agency on climate change, gets just $1 billion. And that has not changed for over a decade. And so there is that the federal government is not spending Canadian tax dollars in a way that really reflects the needs of Canadians. And I'm very, actually, I'm also very disappointed that none of the women members of Parliament stood up for children and for women, because this contract, the $25 billion for the warships, is also a contract that's very much a contract for men. I mean, it's going to be mostly men that are going to be, you know, benefiting from the jobs, and not women, and not children. And so why did none of the women stand up for women and children on this? And I think there's also the issue of labor. The Canadian auto workers, the Marine Federation, that labor organization is very supportive of the shipbuilding procurement strategy. And I think the parties are also very reluctant to go up against labor as well on this issue. However, the parties should recognize that there are other labor organizations that are very much calling for a green job strategy. So, for instance, the Canadian Labor Congress, in partnership with the Pembina Institute, have partnered on an alliance called the Blue-Green Alliance. It's not just those two organizations, but it's other labor organizations, other non-governmental organizations that have come together under this alliance to say, you know, we could build a green economy in Canada. So they've released a number of reports over the last 2 years. The most recent one was in November. The report is called More Bang for Our Buck, Creating Green Jobs and Reducing Pollution in Canada. And so in their study, they showed that with a federal government expenditure of $1 billion, they could actually employ 18,000 Canadians in a green collar strategy, as opposed to $25 billion for warships, which the JUPIA study and the Conference Board of Canada study showed that a maximum will be 11,000 workers, direct and indirect. So we could be hiring more Canadians, doing more meaningful work, building the kind of society that we need, you know, that's fairer, that's more just, that's greener, investing in another way.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, there. There's two things. One is that many Nova Scotians don't appreciate that of the $25 billion that's supposedly coming to Nova Scotia over the next 20 years for the warships, that most of the money will not stay in the province. Most of the money will go outside of the province. So, for instance, of the $25 billion, $20 billion will go to either, a little bit will go to, may go to Ontario or Quebec, but most of it will go down to the United States. Because the Halifax shipyard cannot build the most lucrative parts of the ship. It cannot build the weapon systems, the weapons, the navigational systems, and the propulsion systems. The only thing the Halifax shipyard can build is the hull and the frames and do some retrofitting and repairs. So the company that has the most expertise in this area is Lockheed Martin. And we know from following the news on this contract, and we know from speaking to, for instance, defense economists at the Royal Military College, that Lockheed Martin is trying to partner with Irving to be able to secure the contracts for the navigational propulsional systems, the weapon systems, and the weapons. So that's another really important point that Nova Scotians and Canadians need to realize, is that Nova Scotia is not getting $25 billion over the next 20 years. Defense economist Dr. Ergahan Burcock has estimated that maybe $5 billion will stay in Nova Scotia over this period. He expects, and he identified Lockheed Martin as the prime beneficiary of of the shipbuilding contract. And we know from recent experience, for instance, with the F-35, that fiasco. Lockheed Martin is the manufacturer of those stealth fighters, and it was plagued by cost overruns and delays. And quite honestly, Lockheed Martin can't be trusted. And Lockheed Martin is involved right now with the U.S. Department of Defense on a contract for ships for the littoral zone warship contract. And if you look at that contract, this is another contract that has been plagued by cost overruns, delays. There's just been a report came out in the fall from the General Accounting Office in the United States, where Lockheed Martin was condemned for causing so many problems with this warship contract there. So Canadians should be very concerned that our tax dollars are at risk again with Lockheed Martin being involved in this Canadian warship contract. The other thing is, Canadians are enriching, you know, the 1% with this shipbuilding contract. So for instance, the provincial government just gave a $260 million forgivable loan to Irving Limited. Now, the Irving family is a private family business. It's one of the richest families in the country. The business is private, so Canadians have no public access to their financial records at all. So we have really no idea how this money will be spent. This was a handout. I mean, Canadians should be outraged that the provincial government, at a time when they're cutting back on education, gave a handout to the richest family in the country, a $260 million loan. And then this past November, Lockheed Martin is the president of the Aerospace and Defense Association, Nova Scotia. It's called ADANS. And they just got almost $40,000 from the provincial government to run a training program for the shipyard. Now Lockheed Martin is the world's wealthiest arms manufacturer, right? They are making profits of no less than $4 billion a year, right? On revenue of $44 billion a year. Their CEO, Robert Stevens, is making about $25 million a year. And our little provincial government just gave that association, you know, $40,000 for training. They don't need any money for training. We shouldn't be giving them $1 to help train for the shipbuilding contract. I'm in the process of filing an access to information to get all of the details about this, because I think it should be stopped.